Good morning. The sermon title today asks the question, good news or bad news? And I assure you that all of our announcements this morning are good news. Our children and youth will be collecting money and non-perishable food items to celebrate our Super Bowl of Caring this morning. Toward the end of the service, before I do the benediction, I'm going to ask all of the children to leave church, not really, to leave the service, and we're going to go out into the commons and meet Miss Priscilla and Mr. Bjorn out in the commons, and you guys are going to get ready because all of us are going to come out after worship on our way to lunch, and we're going to donate our money and our non-perishable food items to our little free pantry in honor of the Super Bowl. And so there's going to be two sections, one for who's playing? The Chiefs and who? Chiefs and the Eagles. Okay, I'm not, sorry, yeah. We can't all be perfect, right? So whichever team you are rooting for this afternoon or this evening, put your donations in for that team. If the idea of food items has gotten your tummy grumbling, please join us after you donate those food items upstairs in Hollis Hall for our second Sunday luncheon. It promises to be wonderful as always. We love our caterer and are so grateful for her. Our child protection policy training this morning had to be postponed due to illness. But do not fear, there will be another training provided next Sunday, February 16th, immediately following worship in the Martin House Parlor. If you have any contact with children, whether it's through the nursery or through Sunday school or with working with the youth, we're going to be starting confirmation classes soon. If you have any contact with children, you need to attend one of these training services, training sessions. We will work on rescheduling the one from this morning, so just please keep your ears open. On Saturday, February 22nd, the Deo Clinic is going to host another fabulous concert here in our sanctuary, this time featuring Kathy Reed and Lonesome Red Wing. We are in need of volunteers, so if you are interested, please contact the church office. The following morning, on February 23rd, we will have a congregational meeting to discuss the 2024 financial report and annual report. We will celebrate all of the activities that we have done as a church, as a congregation, over this past year. If you are able, please plan to attend that meeting in person. And once we finish that meeting in worship, then we will have the benediction and be dismissed. Do we have any other announcements for the good of all? All right, then as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, the peace of Christ be with you all.
Please stand for the call to worship. In the sanctuary, God, the Holy One, whose glory fills the whole earth, calls us. We respond with our whole heart, singing God's praise and giving thanks. And let us pray. Holy One, earth and heaven reverberate with your glory, and humans and angels alike sing your praises. Open our minds to your breathtaking work in the world, even as you call us to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, our mentor and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn to the Most Holy One and confess our sin, confident in God's faithful and steadfast love for us, praying first in silence. And together we pray, O God, though we walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve and deliver us. Though our lips are not clean and our hearts are not pure, you call us. Forgive us, we pray, when we wander away from you, lost and at risk. Forgive us when our lives do not reflect your glory and the purposes you intend. Help us to comprehend your ways in the world. We long to feel your grace and glory. For in you, Emmanuel, we can be healed and set free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Promise is this: God is faithful and steadfast, eager to forgive our sin and welcome us home. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I'd like to ask the children to come up front. We're going to do something. We're not going to sit this time. In fact, I want all of you to stand right out there in the front, if you would. So today in our service, if you noticed the bulletin, we are talking about good news and bad news. That doesn't sound very fun, does it? Well, I have a little bit of bad news. So somebody that has been important to our family passed away this week. Do you remember? No, she's right there. No, Miss Etta. Yes, no, Miss Catherine is alive and well and very healthy. But she means a lot to us too. So when we lived in Decatur, you never know with children, you really don't. When we lived in Decatur, there was a woman who I visited every Thursday, and she turned 100 one day before I turned 42. And she almost turned 101 this year. She was 3 weeks away from her birthday. And so she passed away this week. And it's been a little tough for us because the kids got to visit her and Bjorn got to visit her, and she was pretty special to us. And so I need y'all to help me with something, okay? So we're talking about good news and we're talking about bad news. And I wonder, is it possible for something to be a little of both? Okay, maybe. So we have good news, and we're going to put good news over here on this side. Okay? And then we have bad news, and we're going to put bad news over here on this side. So I want you to move from one side to the other depending on what you think this is, okay? So when we're thinking about Miss Etta, and we've had some tears this week over this, we're remembering that we're not going to be able to give her special hugs or hold her hand anymore. What do you think that is? Who wants to take this one? Where do you think this should go? Yeah. Here, somebody come take it. Where do you think it should go? Okay. Here. So this is good news over here, and this is bad news. We're not going to be able to hold her hand anymore or give her special hugs. But here's one. So she's going to be able to dance with her husband, and she's going to hug her daughter Jan, who passed away years ago, and she's going to see all the people in heaven that she loves that she hasn't gotten to see in a long time. Okay, who wants to take that? So that sounds like good news. Okay. And we can still talk to her, right? You can still talk to people that you can't see, but we're not going to hear her talking to us anymore, are we? No. So what does that sound like? Where should that one go? Here you go. You can take that one. Oh, okay. But she doesn't, what did she have to use all the time to get around her house when we visited? What did she walk with? She had a cane or a walker. She doesn't have to use that anymore. What does that sound like? Where should that one go? Someone who hasn't gone yet. Go ahead. Where should that go? Huh? You haven't gone yet? Well, what about this one? We're not going to be able to see her house again. Probably. Where do you think that should go? Yeah, someone else might buy it. Somebody else might live there. Come here. So where is that going to go? Is that good news or bad news?
Bad news.
Yeah, over here. But she, you know, when we would go and visit, she had a little table in the kitchen, and it had lots and lots and lots of pills on it. She doesn't have to take that medicine anymore. What does that sound like? Okay, who hasn't gone yet? You want to take one? What does that sound like? She doesn't have to take any of that nasty medicine anymore. Okay, but we're not going to be able to play in her living room with toys anymore like we used to do. Yeah, Haynes, will you put that one over there? Okay, but she's not hurting or sick anymore. Yeah, that's good. Let's put that. And then I have one more. Who is this? Who is this on this picture? That's Jesus. Guess who's getting to stand with him right now? That's good news or bad news? That she gets to see him. That's good news. That's good news. That's good news. That's really good news. All right. Well, thank you so much. So it is a little bit of both, isn't it? Let's sit on the good news side. Let's come over here on this side. So can we still be sad when people leave and we don't get to see them. And maybe they didn't just go to heaven. Maybe they moved out of town, or maybe they moved to a different neighborhood or a different school, and we don't get to see them quite as often. Is it okay to be sad and to know that there's some good that comes out of it too?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It is. So will you pray with me today? Yeah, see, no more medicine, no more nasty pills. All right, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for people like Etta, who come into our lives and bring us joy for a season. Bless them and keep them, and help us be joy givers too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Will you take these with you?
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. God of steadfast love and faithfulness, you have exalted your name and your word above everything. By the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to hear your word with understanding, that in our speech and actions we may exalt your name above all things. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Listen for God's word. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the Lord, the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull, and stop their ears, and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and comprehend with their minds, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part of it remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for the word of God. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to burst. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were astounded at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Imagine that you're a student in a classroom and the teacher says, "I need a volunteer." Are you the kid whose hand shoots up as high as it can reach and just wave and just, please pick me, right here, right here, right here? Or are you the kid that blurts out, "Well, what exactly do you want us to do? I need to know before I sign up for whatever it is." I was rarely the cautious one. Being the people pleaser that I am, and I seem to be in good company. Isaiah blurted out, "Here I am, send me, I'm ready," before he could even think twice about it. I mean, you can't exactly blame him. He had just seen an incredible vision. He stands at the entrance to the throne room of God, whose robe, even the hem of his robe, fills the entire room. The winged seraphim, which are fiery serpents, by the way, not human-like angels with beautiful feathery wings. They stand at God's feet with their faces covered. Not even they can withstand the full power of God's presence without a veil to shield them, as they sing praises to the Lord of hosts. By the way, the seraphim and cherubim are these heavenly hosts, divine creatures who praise God and deliver his messages to people throughout the Hebrew Bible and New Testament. As they sing, the entire threshold shook and the room filled with smoke. Well, they are fiery creatures after all, so their breath is a little bit dragon-like. Now, at first, Isaiah responds with woe or regret. He does not feel worthy to be in this place or to gaze upon this scene. His lips are unclean, unholy, and so are the lips of his people. Then one of the seraphs took a hot coal from the altar and pressed it to his lips, blotting out his sin. It's at this point that the grand teacher asks, "Can I get a volunteer?" Knowing full well that Isaiah's hand would shoot up faster than a rocket on the 4th of July. Poor Isaiah had no idea what he was signing up for. In fact, the lectionary gives the option for us to end the passage right there. A magnificent heavenly revelation followed by a willingness to be sent out to the world. That sounds a lot like good news. To be God's messenger to the people. It's a great place to stop. It leaves us with warm and fuzzy feelings. Unfortunately, that's not where the story stops. This time, God's message is not warm and fuzzy. This time, it will not just be Isaiah's mouth that is cleansed by fire. Everything will burn. All will be destroyed. Cities and households and all the people who dwell inside them will be laid to waste. And what's worse, the message that Isaiah is to take to the people is not meant to warn them, to save them from this fate, but to confuse them and befuddle them so that they do not understand, so that they have no notion whatsoever of the destruction that is to come. His mission is to keep them blinded to their own folly so that they will not be able to repent and be healed. Teacher, I want to retract my volunteer. I think I'm going to change my mind. Could you just pick somebody else for this one? Isaiah's vision is a very different call story than the one that we find in Luke. And I know I say this a lot, but this is one of my favorite stories. Allow me to paraphrase. It's been a long night. Truth be told, it's been a long year. The political climate under Roman authority was oppressive, and the rise of taxes and inflation was making it harder and harder for folks to make a living, especially those whose living comes from the sea. Simon and his brother had been out fishing all night with nothing to show for it. They weren't alone either. Zebedee and his sons had also been out most of the night. By now they were tired, hungry, and cranky. They would have to explain to their wives once more that there would be nothing to sell at market. What on earth would the tax collectors take this time for collateral? As they worked to clean their nets and load up their gear, a random guy who had been trying to talk to a large crowd of people jumped into Simon's boat and asked him to row out from the shore a little bit. Sure, Simon thought. It's not like I was busy doing anything. Still, a look from his brother Andrew reminded him to keep his mouth shut. Why not? Maybe the noise and disruption of the crowd could be the excuse he gives to his wife about why he didn't catch anything that night. A while later, the crowds dispersed. No wonder, there was nothing for breakfast anyway. They'd all have to hike way back into town for that. Then this random teacher said something completely unexpected. He told Simon to put out a little further and cast his nets. Sure, said Simon, a little more sarcastically than he might have intended. We've tried all night and haven't caught anything, but if you say so. Then the second the net touched the water, the surface bubbled and churned and splashed as hundreds of fish writhed and flipped, trying desperately to escape the net's grasp. Simon called out for help, and James and John were the first to reach the boat, being much faster than their father Zebedee. It took every one of them to gather in the nets, and the weight of those fish nearly sunk their boats. At this point, Simon knew he must be in the presence of someone holy. He sank to his knees and hung his head in shame. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Jesus looked down at Simon with a twinkle in his eye and a mischievous smile on his face. Get up and follow me. Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. Hold on. Pause the story. This is Isaiah here. How come Simon gets to fish for people and I have to burn everything to the ground? Not fair, teacher's pet. Friends, how are you feeling today? We've got good news and bad news coming at us from every angle these days. Some of us are good at setting aside the disappointment of a wasted night of fishing in the hopes of a better catch in the morning. Some of us feel like we're already watching the world burn and feel helpless to stop the fires. Some of us feel like the world inside of us is going to explode if we don't get these words out one way or another. Some of us simply have no words at all. How are you feeling today? If you're anything like me, you feel exactly like Isaiah and Simon, unworthy. Sure, Isaiah's hand shot up pretty fast, but I suspect that was to hide how inadequate he was truly feeling, even after having his lips cleansed with that burning coal. And Simon, well, he always wears his emotions on his sleeve. There's no hiding his feelings. What good would it do anyway? Those twinkling, smiling eyes of Jesus see right through him. Truth be told, they see through us too. Good news or bad news? You know, I wish it was a little easier to tell the difference. The story of the catch of fish, as I said, is one of my favorites. It has such a feeling of hope. I imagine how many pounds of fish it would take to almost sink just one of those boats. I imagine the warmth of the sand under their toes as they were told that they'll be fishing for people next. I look ahead to the miracle stories of people being healed and cured and fed. I smell the freshness of the air on the hilltops where sermons are preached by God Himself in the flesh right before our eyes. Then I remember there's another hilltop in the story, one in which the air isn't quite so fresh, the sky is not quite as blue, one that tastes a little more metallic, like blood, than like fish or bread. One that smells more lukewarm, like wine vinegar, than cool and fresh like water. An image of crows instead of doves. Good news or bad news? Most nights, we have story time before bed. And one of our favorite books to read is The Lorax by Dr. Seuss. Now, The Lorax speaks for the trees. He's an advocate for the barbalutes who wear barbalut suits and eat truffula fruits. He protects the humming fish who make a comfortable sound in the ripulous pond as they swim around. He guards the song of the swami swans that rings out in space where the grass is still green in that glorious place. Life is good. Life is clean. Life is balanced and beautiful. You know the story. The onceler arrives and allows his greed to destroy what once was. He chops down the trees that produce food for the barbalutes. His factory fills the air with smogula smog and mucks up the pond with gluppity glup. In the end, the creatures must leave, and the Lorax lifts himself up by the seat of his pants and disappears through a hole in the smog. The only thing left was a pile of rocks and the word, unless. And all that the Lorax left here in this mess was a pile of rocks with the one word, unless. Whatever that meant, well, I just couldn't guess. That was long, long ago. But each day since that day, I've sat here and worried away. Through the years, while my buildings have fallen apart, I've worried about it with all of my heart. But now, says the onceler, now that you're here, the word of the Lorax seems perfectly clear. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, it's not going to get better. It's not. Good news or bad news? Friends, sometimes the good news is obvious, and sometimes it's a lot more subtle. Sometimes the good news is a boat full of fish and the promise of provided provisions. That made lots of sense in my head when I wrote it. Sometimes the good news is disguised as asking us to leave the fish behind to catch something even harder and more rewarding. And sometimes the good news can only be found after the destructive fires burn everything down, after greed takes for itself at the expense of others, after the world seems utterly destroyed by our very eyes. It comes in the form of a seed, not a truffula seed. In the words of Isaiah, it grows out of the stump, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. Hope may seem elusive, unless. Friends, we too are called to share God's good news with the world in big ways and small. We too are called to speak in ways that will confound the world and befuddle the mighty. We too are called to fish for people. It is up to us to care an awful lot, or nothing is going to change. It's not. So plant your seeds, keep watering them, offer them every opportunity to bask in the sunlight. Take the good as it comes and count the bad as fertilizer. In time, God's love will blossom from the ashes for all to see. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, as we have heard the word of God read and proclaimed, let us say our affirmation of faith together, which comes from Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being born in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess to the glory of God, Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Today we will pray responsively in a different way. In the bulletin, you'll see the words printed, Lord, you ask, whom shall I send? With the response, here I am, Lord, send me. I invite you to listen to each of the prayers spoken. Think of your own personal gifts, talents, and passions. And if one of these prayers or more speaks especially to your heart, then respond aloud, here I am, Lord, send me. Let us pray together. O God, most high, you meet us where we live and invite us to be part of your purpose. All thanks and praise to you, for you hear our prayers for the church, the world, and all who live in it. We pray for the church and for all who work to bring others a word of compassion. In times of trouble, offer your comforting presence. In times of pain, offer healing. In times of fear, offer a place of refuge. When life challenges our strength and resilience, Lord, you ask, whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord, send me. We pray for peace among nations and among people. When conflict arises, we ask for leaders who will keep cool heads. We pray that those with power will use it to make peace instead of war. When friends and family members clash over ideologies, settle their minds and hearts around hope and love. When anger and resentment threaten to take control, give us wisdom and discernment to act and speak truth in love. When discord threatens to upend your promises of peace, Lord, you ask, whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord, send me. We pray for those suffering from natural disasters, for those still recovering from the damage inflicted by Hurricane Helene, for those who still battle against fires in California, for those affected by floods and droughts, hurricanes and typhoons, earthquakes and landslides. Calm the storms, bring gentle rains to the dry places, dry up the floodwaters, and bring new life up from the ashes. As people around the world fight to recover, and as relief organizations tackle hurdles put in their way, allow us to use our skills and resources to help those who have lost so much. In the face of devastation, Lord, you ask, whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord, send me. We pray for those who are oppressed and need courage to resist. When the world seeks to reduce them to statistics, Give them a story to tell. When the world wants to blame them for their condition, give them a face to be seen. When the world wants to quietly push them aside, give them a voice to be heard. When it seems no one cares about their stories, or sees their faces, or hears their voices, Lord, you ask, whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Send me. God of majesty and glory, through Jesus Christ, you summon us into your compassion for all creation. Renew in us your call and release us from all fear, that we may testify in words and deeds to your steadfast love for all. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who provides fish, gathers wheat, leads sheep, plants seeds, calls disciples, sends apostles, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we are invited to cast our nets into God's abundance and to share what we have received with others. As we give our tithes and offerings today, we put our trust in the one who has called us to follow him, Jesus Christ, the great fisher of people. Friends, let us give out of our abundance.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks for your generosity to us. Bless these gifts and multiply them for the sake of those in need around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Not used to children following directions the first time they were given, but our kids have already moved out to the commons room. If any of you are here and would like to go out, you're welcome. You don't have to. Friends, God has shown you what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Therefore, go out into the world in peace. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And know that the strong, sure love of God, the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the intimate, renewing presence of the Holy Spirit will be with you now and always. Amen.